What you sharing?
On Prime, Amazon Prime Video just made a video game into a TV show. I've seen it all. Steven's only seen like 4 out of 10. Andy's seen like 6 out of 10. And I think Scotty's seen like 7 out of 10.
Oh, I watched the last 3 episodes last night.
So you're caught up.
Oh, yeah.
We're 100%. Talking about Fallout.
I thought there was only 8.
There's 8, yeah.
Fallout, the game made TV show. Holy cow, my spoiler-free review, I'll just get out of the way. It was a fun show. It reminded me of Lost mixed with like other dystopian future stories. It felt like a puzzle. It felt like the characters are fun. Not what you expect a lot of times. You think you know what's going to happen, and they do kind of flip it on you, which is like kind of my measuring stick sometimes. So Fallout, I'm giving a 3.7 for sure. Me and Carrie loved it.
Man.
Can't wait to watch season 2. Scotty Scoop.
I would say next to The Last of Us, this might be the greatest video game adaptation to a screen.
100%. Preach, brother.
Yeah.
Let your nerd out.
This is one of my favorite video game series. Man.
What was your entry point?
3. You know, come in, play 3. And then New Vegas, and then 4, and then Fallout 76.
We always try to talk to 2 people. I don't know anything about this, and I'm totally into it. Yep. So what's the synopsis for the games? How many games are out? And like how it's been going since when, maybe, is a good question.
The synopsis is pretty much what the show is, but each game is independent of each other. They don't necessarily tie into each other. There are references and callbacks, but they plugged in so much of that in the show that it's just, I mean, it's, you know, just give me some more of that.
You play the game, Steven.
100%.
You play the game?
Absolutely.
And?
No, I never have.
All right. Well, so
I'm really into this chat, though. Let me learn.
Yeah, we're going to let the gamers talk for a minute. Steven, lay it on us. Like, what's your entry point?
Well, my entry point was also 3. And it immediately became not just one of my favorite games, but genres of diesel punk, which I don't know. But if you guys know, diesel punk, with steampunk being, you know, rooted in Victorian, diesel is like 1940s, 1950s, pinup, you know, America's the middle class is becoming a big thing. It's just when we're becoming like the great nation that we are today. But yeah, so it's like it's the, you know, the glory days of that. But then everything gets totally nuked. Not in the 40s. It's overcomplicated. I don't want to make it overwrought.
There's a lot of minutia there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But absolutely wonderful. But I'm going to toss it back to Scotty because he was talking. Your thoughts on
that? Yes.
Keep it going.
Fallout 3, I think that was probably, that might have launched with the 360.
Yeah. It was that
like
era.
2006, 2007. And before that, it was kind of a different kind of game. I've gone back and looked at Fallout 1 and 2. And then after that, they did Fallout New Vegas. After that, they did Fallout 4. And then there was a Fallout 76, which was just like an all-encompassing, always-online kind of cooperative game, if you wanted it to be that.
Okay.
But, man, they nailed so much stuff just straight out of the... Like, you don't have to know this stuff, but when you see it and you've played the games, you're like... Oh, yeah. You know, that the meme where you're like, you know, and pointing Leonardo DiCaprio.
And this is where I play the other side of the coin. I don't know. I can have fun with this because me and Carrie do not play these games at all. And we're watching it. And there's things that happen where I go, I don't know exactly what they're saying here. I go, but I know this. They're saying something important. And the diehards just got a little wink, I think.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yes.
And nerd boners all over the place.
Good. Cool.
And it's like, it's not exactly rhyming couplets. They do slant rhymes because it's like enough for fans of the show to, when we watch it, we're going to see things that are going to pop up. And like, we may be in an environment that's familiar to us. It's like,
sure.
I don't know what's going to happen plot point, but I know this has appeared in the game. It's like when the super duper market shows up, it's like
super duper mart. Yeah, you see the,
I knew that was a big thing. I was like, that's a big thing.
She was traveling in the desert for days and opened a box of deviled eggs.
Right. I mean, I guess like these aren't necessarily spoilers.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
They're just kind of funny tidbits.
Just tidbits, Easter eggs, if you will.
Yes. Certain things feel like levels. You know, you're like, this would have been a big level move.
Yeah. They call back. I remember at one point a guy mentioned like the Battle of Anchorage, you know, and that's something that happens in the games and, you know, just like canon events that they kind of mention, and then just the look. the grittiness and the griminess of the of everything. And then while they're in the vault, how clean and sanitized everything is.
Yeah.
And then how sometimes this can be super serious and heavy and just move in the wackiest,
yes,
weirdest direction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun to watch, like, the play on the characters. It almost feels like they have a dialogue tree. I don't know if you guys know what a dialogue tree is. When you're playing a game,
oh, right,
and they give your character the option to say, like, three or four different things.
Yeah.
And it really feels like sometimes they take a beat to think about it, and they'll, you know, choose the nice reply or the completely wacky off-the-wall interaction.
Yeah, and as a gamer, you're like, oh, they're going to do one of these four things.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Okay.
This could go in any one of four
and
directions.
For me, as not a gamer, like, not having that, like, I don't need to know any of that. I'm just kind of watching, like, a unique kind of catchy type of writing.
I think that's the testament to a great adaptation is... You don't have to know anything about this going into it.
It's almost like
to enjoy it.
It's almost like the mainstream was kind of right. But yeah. Are they selling us something here? Oh, yeah, Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. It's still toxic. Okay, no. But they're getting it right a lot. Like, they're really hitting the mark of, like, this can be for me that's never played a single second. And for you guys that have been playing since, what I hear, 2006? Like, yeah. That, and, like, that's a lot. And, like, video game stories, watching friends play since a young age, I always thought that a lot of these games had the best stories. Like, I was fine watching my friends play because, like, I was into the campaigns, you know? And so I feel like they are hitting it. It's for, like, everybody.
Now, and I will say, if you've got the mobile device, you can play Fallout Shelter.
Huh. Yeah.
It's a real fun.
Oh, you got an entry point now. Here we go.
It's just a real fun game.
Do you feel like Jeff Bezos is puppet-mastering you right now?
You are running your own vault.
Yeah.
And you're creating the levels. You're putting your vault dwellers to work.
I feel like we've...
You're breeding them to create more vault dwellers.
We've really failed anyone that doesn't know anything about Fallout. And we'll say it now, and I'll cut it back to the beginning. The synopsis for the show is... Like, I mean, Steven did a good job kind of setting up. It's in the past. It's like in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and they set up this.
2077.
Nuclear war is on the brink.
Yes.
And then the show is called Fallout. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you already put it together.
Yeah. It's this idea that World War II happened. We won. And then we decided that anything that's nuclear powered is a wonderful, amazing thing. So, like, we have hover powered cars, but they have the big fins on them, and the music of the time is all the Ink Spots and Glenn Miller and big band stuff. But then, you know, and that carried forward till 2077. Then bombs drop, and then we fast forward 200 years later, and that's where this picks up, is like
2280 something. Yeah. All
and
right.
I think for me, like, with Fallout, it's fun to play. The side quests are so fun, but it's the world that keeps you coming back. It's the premise. And that's the great thing with this. It does the same thing that the games have done, because if you go from 3 to Vegas to 4, the first one's set in the DC area. So you have a lot of cool areas to traverse. And then New Vegas, obviously, in Vegas. And then the fourth one is in the Boston area. So again, you go through all these historical areas. And that's what this one is set in, LA/Hollywood, California. And so because they're true to the spirit of the game, it's like, here's this sandbox, and we have built this amazing world with this built-in lore. Have at it. So it's honestly, it's not unlike kind of what The Mandalorian has done. It's like, you know, we've got this sandbox to play in, and now we're going to try and make these characters that are going to be compelling for you to follow. And I think they've done a wonderful job. Walton Goggins is amazing. Ella Purnell.
Yeah, Ella Purnell.
And then Aaron Moten, I believe.
Oh, yeah, so
who's
good.
The guy in the armor.
Yeah. And Kyle McLaughlin.
The details that they have on this, like, the armor looks like the armor from the game. Again, I want to get away from, like, you know, game stuff, so that, you know, people who don't know about it as much, you know, why should I watch it? I got to say, you got to be okay with gore. There's a lot of gore. And sometimes, you know, as Scotty said, it's presented serious. And sometimes it's satire, kind of like a RoboCop or, you know, a Verhoeven movie, you know, Starship Troopers, kind of a, you know, violence as, you know, funny. But So the tone can be all over the place, but that's Fallout. And it's like one of the big components is side quests. You have your main mission that you need to do that's going to save the world, but then you get, you know, tracked by somebody's like, hey, I need you to go collect 50 spider butts or whatever. And that's one of the things that Walton Goggins' character says. He's the zombie guy with the hat. It's like, that's the thing about the wasteland. There's always some bullshit that gets you distracted. It was something to that.
I mean, it's like one of his lines he just drops when he's doing those missions.
And it's like, oh, that's exactly what that is. And so it's not something I could recommend to everyone, because I started watching it when I was on vacation just recently down in Arkansas, and my mother, who's 74, and we started watching it with her. So that was really fun with the graphic sex scene in the first episode. but then, you know, it's like, God, this is not for my mother. It's like, it's not up her alley. And also, she had a really bad TV. So I'm like, I'm going to wait until I can watch it on my TV back home so I can also appreciate all these Easter eggs, because there's so much stuff that's going on in the background. And it's just, it's brilliant from what I've seen. And I've also heard from my friends that have seen it, and they say that the end of this season is a mind blower. So I cannot wait to get deeper into it. That's what she said.
Fallout, Amazon Prime. Any final thoughts?
I have a question. So I'm liking the show a lot, and I want to play one of the video games. So sounds like Fallout 3 is where to start.
Fallout 3 is where to start, and
naturally,
if you have an Xbox and you have Xbox Game Pass, Xbox purchased the studio who makes Fallout, so all of these games are on Game Pass.
Yep. So I'll be playing them for free because I have Game Pass. That's amazing.
So are you a PC gamer though?
No, just okay. Xbox.
For PC gamers out there, you would already know this: the rule with all Bethesda games, which is Elder Scrolls and Fallout, you get it on PC and then you mod it until it breaks. And because there are so many mods that are out there that are amazing, that can update what it looks like and how it plays. Because if you play Fallout 3, it will show its age. So you're going to be patient with like the waxy, you know, uncanny valley features of some of the characters. Fallout 4 is, you know, a little more modern, but even that's 10 years old.
Yeah.
So my hope is that this is going to fold into a new announcement of the next Fallout game. I hope, because God, I hope so. Yeah.
I mean, I think you guys are going to get your wish. I mean, they got
76
this
came out, and
I don't count that because
it's
it
not
was
really
such a
what
failure.
People wanted. Yeah,
exactly.
It got better. Are you guys, it got a whole lot better.
Are you guys nervous that the show got some of the game budget?
No. Not at all.
It's like they got more now.
It's a different animal.
Bethesda is a giant.
Yeah.
They make whatever they want.
It's funded by Microsoft now, and now they're in bed with Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some decent pockets.
They're okay now. All right, Fallout on Amazon Prime. Whether you're a gamer that's looking for the Easter eggs, you'll enjoy it, or you're a noob like me and Andy, it feels like Lost meets The Boys. You know, it is graphic, but it's got a really cool puzzle aspect. Go see it on Prime. Mostly Superheroes is proud to be funded in part by our sponsors. Mostly Superheroes is funded in part by paying patrons who receive early, ad-free, and exclusive episodes. Subscribe at mostlysuperheroes.com/support. Thank you for supporting your favorite independent podcast. Mostly Superheroes is an independent podcast owned and operated by Kerrigan Ventures in St. Louis, Missouri. Hosted by Logan Janis, Andy Hun, and Scott Swearingen. Brand and creative by Kerry Clark Design. Music by Audionautics. Learn more at audionautics.com. Find more at mostlysuperheroes.com.